This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV, and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Hey, Susie Rong.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Warren, how much of a judgy person are you?
This is a hard one. Judgy. How judgy am I?
I'm always coming in with a hard one for you.
You are coming in with a hard one. Maybe a 4.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very low. You think you're on the low side.
Yeah, I think a 4. I used to be quite judgmental, I think. But then, I don't know, Susie, I can't be bothered judging people anymore. I know that sounds like a bit of a cop-out, but I don't really do it. My intuition's really good. Like, I'm very intuitive. I can read people quite easily. And most of the time I'm right. Sometimes I'm wrong, but most of the time I reckon I'm right. But I don't tend to judge. I tend to read, if that makes sense. Are you judgmental?
I think in some ways I am. In general, I've learned to give people a really wide berth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's important to be a generous person. Mm-hmm. But I do know something about me is that I am always on the lookout for people who might be, you know, transphobic, homophobic, racist, right? So once I have made my decision that someone might be one of those things, I stand very firm against them. Otherwise, with other things like you, I guess I don't really care. I think one of the things I learned quite early on is just that sometimes, however a person might be, just has nothing to do with you. And it's best to not get involved. Yeah.
I mean, I used to be quite judgmental, I think. I think I was, but I think that's a self-defense thing. It's like, you know, it's easier to judge someone, make yourself feel better by putting someone else down. That's an easy thing to do, you know. And
that's true.
I think I've realized now that everyone's got their own story. Everyone's been through something. You don't know what it is. We can't make assumptions about what it is. And I've learned not to judge. Don't be so harsh. Just, you know what, things could happen to any of us any day.
I wonder if when you're a younger person, you're a little bit less sure of yourself. So you're always looking for signs of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. Mm. And you kind of look at it from an external perspective before you're able to form something that's personal for you. Before you know yourself enough, it's hard, you know, so you're kind of always trying to gauge, is this the right thing? Is this person doing the right thing? So in a way, I also feel like people who are harshly judgmental, I think they do that to themselves as well. I feel like it's a very kind of like a two-way street almost.
But Susie, I mean, we're used to being judged ourselves, aren't we? We're used to it. It's, you know, at school being judged, you know, you're crap at PE. that's what people used to judge about me. You're useless at it. Like the stuff that would come out of their mouths. And I feel like, you know, we've observed them do it to us. So therefore it's kind of easy to judge others because we're taught how to do it. We've seen people do it. We're experts in a way. Do you reckon our community are very judgmental of each other?
I think so. But I do feel like that's a very big difference between young and old. I do feel like, young people, especially in our community, it seems from what I can observe, we are very good at being bitchy and we can almost pride ourselves on that. But, I feel like our elders are not that way. I feel like we grow out of it at some stage and then, we become, none of that. Maybe it's a rites of passage thing.
Yeah, I've never liked that bitchiness. And there were lots of performances that were based on that bitchiness. I always walked out and thought, oh, this is just not entertaining at all. Just picking on people and being nasty to people. And I'm not just saying it to sound good on radio. I actually found it really boring. And not to me, that's not talent.
Yeah, I do understand, though, like, as a community of people who have suffered a lot of trauma and have been hurt a lot, that is sort of quite a cathartic way to deal with things, because we kind of don't really have other outlets. I don't know what it is like now growing up, you know, as a teen or a 20-something in 2026, but back in our day, we didn't have many avenues to kind of work out these feelings. So I understood why my younger days were filled with a lot of bitchiness. You know, the drag shows in the clubs, I think that's a lot of what you're talking about.
Yeah,
and even the stuff that we love. You know, we loved Ab Fab, that sort of stuff that were incredibly bitchy. And we thought that was fabulous. We equated that with fabulous. And I think that had to do with us working out who we are and our place in the world and how we deal with the hurt that we were feeling. And it's hard. It is hard to be a nice person. It's hard to be a sweet person when the world is constantly at your throat.
But you look around at I love a drag show when it's a good drag show, but you look around when someone's being bitchy at the crowd. The crowd aren't, they're smiling with nerves. You know, that fake smile, please don't pick on me, please don't pick on me. What a hideous place to be in an audience, sort of, oh, no, I don't want them to come to me. That's not enjoying yourself.
Yeah, I think drag has changed a lot in recent years. I feel like the younger generation have changed that a lot to the extent on the occasion when I see a bitchy drag queen, I feel like, oh, what year is this? It feels like such a blast from the past. So I do think, on a positive note, I think that has changed a lot.
Here's something. We do not shy away from the big discussions here on Joy Drive. Another message just came in saying, agree, Warren, the bitchiness is basic and dim and so over drag, it needs to evolve. I agree. Some of it has evolved, though. Let's you know, there's some really great drag stuff out there. You know, I think to me the bitchiness was earlier on, like a long time ago. I don't know. I don't see so much of it now, but I don't know. Just horrible. Another message came in saying the kings don't rely on it. Well, there you go. Maybe it's just the gay men. Maybe it's just us.
I do think so. I do think that if you're assigned male at birth, it does manifest a little bit differently. Well, a lot to think about. But today, it's all based on ideas I got from today's movie, right?
Terry Joe. Tell us about Terry Joe. What do you think of it?
In the very first scene of this week's movie, the lead character appears in two guises. We first see a young black woman who may or may not be trans, but when looking into the mirror, she's a cisgender white girl. And so begins this story about race and sex in America. Terry Joe, missionary in Miami, now streaming on the free platform Tubi, is, however, not an intellectually demanding work by any means. In fact, it is thoroughly silly and often almost vacuous in how it renders its comedy. The lead character, Terry Joe, may be featured here for the first time in a movie, but in reality has existed many years on social platforms as a legitimate TikTok star. Played by actor Keelan Campbell in drag, Terry Joe is an ultra-conservative Bible thumper, an ignorant young woman from Louisiana who never shies away from condemning and castigating anyone she deems to have wronged in the eyes of her Lord and Savior. In her movie Missionary in Miami, Terry Joe has to escape from criminals in rural Louisiana and head to the shiny shores of Miami City, hoping to seek refuge with a wealthy cousin. The freedom of city life, however, proves terrifying for the young lass, so Terry Joe runs again, this time looking for a church that can accommodate her prudish self. We soon discover that the movie is an ode to the Wizard of Oz, with Terry Joe on a Dorothy-esque journey of discovery and adventure. Missionary in Miami is, however, no masterpiece. Its star is never short of charisma, that's true, but the writing isn't great, and neither is the direction. The film is amusing and comical enough to sustain us for its modest 80 minutes, with occasionally clever moments that deliver genuine hilarity, alongside a lot of cringy scenes that don't quite hit the mark. Terry Joe is, however, unquestionably a fantastic character. She represents marvelously the hypocrisy and cruelty of sanctimonious religious types, as well as the kind of old-school racists that we pretend no longer exist. In the age of MAGA in Trump's America, there is no doubt that movies like Missionary in Miami are very much needed, but they just have to be a lot more finessed. Warren, I know you love a story about religious nuts.
Susie. Oh, Susie. I do love a story. I found this one. I found myself laughing and then immediately checking myself going, oh, my goodness, why am I laughing at this? I don't know. Did you find that? It wasn't for me, to be honest. I don't know if that tension was part of the design of thinking, you know, should you laugh or shouldn't you laugh at it? Did you get that feeling?
Well, I think you're right. I think for your perspective, being a white person, I think it probably is designed to make you feel quite uncomfortable. Mm. I can see how that happens. I'm glad you got a few laughs from it though, because I do feel like some of it's very forced. And then, but just when I'm tired, feeling like really exhausted by its attempt at humor, it suddenly gives you something really funny. True. Like every few minutes,
surprise.
Yeah.
There's an occasional surprise.
Yeah, so I was able to get to the end. Yeah. There's an occasional moment of brilliance, and then it goes back to being really juvenile. So it's a really mixed response from me. Like I said, I'm really happy that a character like Terry Jo is moving towards a different platform, because obviously she's big on TikTok, but I'm not on TikTok, so I don't get to see her very much. And I love that she has a bit of opportunity and hopefully reaching a bigger audience and making some money.
Yeah, I agree with you. A few more messages. One saying something about RuPaul. I'm afraid, Warren, that these days RuPaul calls it reading. I'm not sure what that is meant. The bitchiness is founded in misogyny. The other is shaming people for what they consider funny is judgment. Your individual experience doesn't necessarily reflect everyone else's view. That's true. It's entirely my view and entirely Susie Wrong's view and not everyone else's view, but that's how we feel about things. Susie, you're taking a couple of weeks off.
I am. I'm working on the second season of my podcast.
Oh, that's exciting.
First season, you can watch all of it on YouTube. Look for Here We Are. So we are working on the second season of the podcast over the next couple of weeks.
Fantastic, Susie. So you'll have a couple of weeks off. We'll catch you in about 3 weeks' time, and no doubt you'll let us know what we're watching then.
Yes, and I'll be back with more probing questions for Warren.
Thank you. Thanks, Susie. See you then.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.